Weekend Monitor spans the wide weekend world, listening for the interesting, unusual, and the significant. In just 2 minutes, Dr. Joyce Brothers, psychologist and columnist, answers the question, how has man survived? Dean Martin has a good answer.
Lay some happiness on me, so the brighter side you see. No more loneliness to be. Lay some happiness on me.
Tell me I'm great, and I'll be greater. Fill me up, and I'll fly. Love me now, and I'll be glad later. Tell your troubles goodbye.
Lay some happiness on me, so the brighter side you see. No more loneliness to be. Lay some happiness on me.
Sorrow is sooner the better for you. Fill it up with a happy tomorrow. We got some living to do.
Lay some happiness on me, so the brighter side you'll see. No more loneliness to be. Lay some happiness on me.
Kiss me too. A good love makes a bad fighter, and I'm not digging on you.
Lay some happiness on me, so the brighter side you see. No more loneliness to me. Lay some happiness on me. Lay some happiness on me, so the brighter side.
Now, All About People, with nationally known psychologist and columnist, Dr. Joyce Brothers. Dr. Brothers tells us all about man.
Man prides himself on most of the things that differentiate him from the lower animals. He's a toolmaker. He has a superior intelligence. He can communicate. He has a conscience. Did one of these things, or a combination, make him the king of the world? Not according to the great anthropologist Louis Leakey, who spent his life searching for clues to the kind of life lived by the first men who inhabited the world. The oldest human ancestor that Dr. Leakey found was a creature who lived in Africa some 20 million years ago. At that time, the ancestors of the other beasts, the lion and tiger and leopard, were much more powerful than their offspring we know today. But man's ancestor was a puny little creature, not 3 feet tall. He had just stopped swinging from trees and couldn't get around too well on the ground. He wasn't going to be intelligent enough to make tools or even to throw rocks for 18,000 more years. Without claws or fangs, he couldn't hunt or even defend himself. How then did he survive and multiply and develop into the ruler of the world today? Are you ready for this? He had B.O. His best friends wouldn't tell him, and his worst enemies gave him a wide berth. The greater beasts of the jungle and plains passed him by in favor of better-smelling, tastier prey. They're still doing it. Today, a hungry lion will walk through camps filled with sleeping, defenseless men to slay and eat a nearby antelope, just as he did 20 million years ago. If he does kill a man, he'll sniff his body with disgust and look for something tastier to eat. He reacts in the same way to man's close relative, the chimpanzee. Has man gloried in this trait that gave him his first advantage in the struggle for existence? Quite the contrary. He spent centuries denying and camouflaging it. Indeed, his desperate fight against his body odor caused him to build baths and concoct perfumes at the dawn of civilization. He learned to make himself smell better before he learned to write. To this conceit, we can, at least in part, trace modern architecture, engineering, plumbing, and chemistry. We can only be thankful that these modern methods of masking man's natural body odor weren't available to our ancestors 20 million years ago. If they had been, we probably wouldn't be here today. This is Dr. Joyce Brothers for Monitor.
As well as appearing on Monitor every weekend, Dr. Joyce Brothers may be heard weekdays on NBC Radio's Emphasis series. Was the Harry Simeon Chorale, a heartwarming story from San Francisco, where a Franciscan friar has made the gospel of the Good Samaritan live again in an inspiring way. You'll hear it if you stay right here on the Monitor Beat. Monitor back with you, and the time is exactly 15 minutes before the hour. Nice to see that Frankie Lane has climbed back up on the popular music polls across the nation. I think you'll like this one called Making Memories.
We're making memories each time we kiss. Making wonderful memories when we are holding each other like this. Green grass for a pillow, a black velvet sky above, tender magic moments in a wonderland of love. The years may come and go, but we'll reach
start of it all. Darling, I'll remember my whole life through, making memories with you. We're making memories each time we kiss, making wonderful memories when we are holding each other.
For the headline, Medicare's Great, Up to a Point, in the magazine section of the Sunday newspaper. Medicare does not pay for all hospital and surgical expenses. Continental Casualty's Golden 65 health plan will help you pay those bills that Medicare doesn't. Now, this is the last time the application form will appear during this limited enrollment period, which ends May 26th. Clip it out and mail it right now. Remember, look for the headline, Medicare's Great, Up to a Point. Monitor Music with Connie Francis, Happiness.
Happiness is two kinds of ice cream. Finding your skate key, telling the time. Happiness is learning to whistle, tying your shoe for the very first time. Happiness is playing the drum in your own school band. And happiness is walking hand in hand. Happiness is five different crayons, knowing a secret, climbing a tree. Happiness is having a brother, catching a firefly, setting him free.
How many times have you read about or heard about instances where people in trouble or danger are actually, literally ignored by the general public? Well, there's a Franciscan friar in San Francisco who's very much involved with his fellow man, much like the Good Samaritan in the time of Christ. Here's the story from Monitor reporter Gene DeCardo in San Francisco.
In the heart of San Francisco's Tenderloin, where much of the city's dim underworld hangs out, there are some bright places of hope. One of these is St. Anthony's Dining Room, where for 17 years the hungry have come for a square meal. Recently, the 8 millionth meal was served, and Monitor was on hand with Franciscan Father Alfred Bodecker, a man who might fit the Hollywood image of the rotund Good Friar.
Every day, well, we average out now between 1,400 and 1,500 every day. And there have been times we've gone up as far as 2,200 during times of recession. I remember in 1959 and 1661, right in there. And then it goes up as the season goes along. When the men get out to work, you know, in the fields, and then in the wintertime they come back. And it differs, too, in the beginning of the month and the end of the month. Some of the those that have a little checks coming in, old age pensioners and so on, beginning of the month they try to make it. Towards the end of the month the check doesn't reach, and so they start coming down then to eat.
Who makes up your workforce here?
Oh, these are, I have about four people that are on the payroll. But all the rest of them, the ladies that you see behind the steam tables here, they're all volunteers.
Is this three meals a day?
One big meal.
One big meal.
But you can see that's very...
It's a very generous meal.
Oh, yes. It's a heaping meal.
Is there any contribution, financial contribution, some of these people make if they can?
Oh, you mean after a while? Oh, yes. When they get back from our farms, for example, where we have to raise the meat, you know, to put in the on the line here. Why, we've had already 800 go out of the farms alone in the last since 54. And here we have our own free employment bureau where we seek jobs for these men all the time. It has expanded tremendously. We have a house here in town where we house 30. And then we have a place for women where we house about 75. Two different buildings. We have a clinic here, too, you know, for those that are having residence long enough and having money to go to a private hospital and having residence long enough to get here.
What year did this start, and whose idea was it, Father?
I started it.
Did you really?
Yeah, 1950. I don't know how the idea came upon me when I saw so many that would come to the front door, and I thought, I'm not doing much by giving them a 25 cents or something to get something to eat. I thought, gee, this is not helping that whole personality. It's just like getting rid of them. But this way, when they come in and just see grabbing, take their tray, it has dignity to it, you know. They feel like they're in a nice cafeteria. And the place looks nice, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It smells nice.
Yeah, top tables and asphalt tile on the floor and the steam kettle so beautifully. It's a wonderful job. I thank God for the great number of friends. I think they are convinced that with 8 million meals, that we have really been true to them. People that have contributed in one way, some with food, some with donations. Some have given almost every month for years a dollar or so. But what would I do without it? It just cost me almost $9,000 a month. And just think, never a drive, never a public relations man, no campaign, nothing. Just resting on the goodwill and the helpfulness of these people. I think it's a great tribute to our town.
St. Anthony's asks nothing in return for the free meal. No prayers or sermons, just hot food on a big plate. Father Bodecker says the diners get the message without being preached to. From San Francisco's Tenderloin, Gene DeCardo reporting for Monitor.
Thank you.
Parnell's Orchestra, Un Poco Rio. Just add water for instant translation. It comes out a little river. Never knew I was multilingual, right? NBC News covers the world no matter what language is spoken, no matter where the action is. Stay tuned and stay informed. NBC Monitor News on the Hour is next. This is Ed McMahon.
This is your NBC Monitor. This is your NBC Monitor.